Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of the VR2 on SI podcast. I'm your host, Jake Nichols, filling in for Jack Foster for this edition. And before we go any further, I would like to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by Acker Travel Company. Looking to book travel this summer but don't want to do all the monotonous work? Contact our friends Beth and Price at Acker Travel Company so that they can do all the work for you. Acker Travel Company is currently sending you a $50 Visa gift card to book with them, so what is there to lose? Go ahead and give them a call now and find that dream vacation. So let's go ahead and get rolling with this special edition. This weekend at noon on ESPN, Tennessee and Pittsburgh will meet at Neyland Stadium in a game that's being billed as the Johnny Majors Classic in memorial of the legendary coach who passed last summer. Johnny Majors, of course, needs no introduction. But in case you need a refresher, he coached the Vols to 3 SEC titles, won the 1976 national title at Pittsburgh, and became a rightful College Football Hall of Famer. Oh, and by the way, his Hall of Fame induction was not as a coach, but as a player, because anyone who knows Tennessee football knows that before Majors' coaching career ever unfolded, he took the field in 1953 under General Robert Neyland after starting for Huntland High School for his father, Shirley. In an illustrious UT playing career, Majors became an All-American tailback, a 2-time SEC Most Valuable Player Award winner, and he was a Heisman runner-up behind Paul Hornung in 1956 before briefly playing in the Canadian League. So, now that I've reintroduced you to Johnny Majors, let's get you to somebody who really knew him, Ryan McGee from ESPN. Before climbing the ladder at ESPN, Ryan worked on the video crew for Tennessee's football team when he was a student in the 90s. That work allowed him to have daily conversations with Coach Majors, which he wrote about in a column after Majors' passing last year. So, I thought who better to tell you more about the coach that Tennessee and Pittsburgh will be honoring this Saturday and next year. Now, here's my full conversation with Ryan McGee about the great Johnny Majors. So, Ryan, let's go ahead and get into it. Man, it's been a minute. I hadn't talked to you since Omaha. How you doing?
I'm good. I mean, you know, busy, but busy's a good thing, man. Yeah, well, a lot has changed and a lot hasn't since I saw you in Omaha. we're playing football, so that's the most important thing.
That it is, and obviously this week with the Johnny Majors Classic with Tennessee and Pitt, you know, after that column you wrote last year, I guess that would be the first place I want to start is if you could just touch on what you wrote and just your relationship with Coach Majors going back to your time at Tennessee.
Well, Coach Majors was, and I appreciate you bringing up the column because I was, you know, that's one of those that you write and you feel great about, but you write it with tears in your eyes, you know, because Coach had just passed away that morning, and I just talked to him that fall, and you know, he was my coach. You know, I wrote it in the column. I said we all should have that one person, and maybe hopefully more people in your life that you call coach, and it could be an actual coach. Or it could be your dad who was your coach, your mom who was your coach, or it could be the larger-than-life coach, right? The Bear Bryant, and for me, growing up North Carolina, Dean Smith and all that. But Coach Majors was my guy that I called coach. Always have, always will. And when I was a student at Tennessee, I got to join the video crew, the football video crew. So I went to practice every day. Traveled, went to the games, shot all the film that they watched when they came back, and I got the lucky draw of being on the tower on the offensive playing field, the practice field, and that's where Coach Majors set up every day. So every day it was me and it was one of the equipment managers and Coach Majors, and every single day, Ryan, how you doing? How'd you doing your history test? How's your dad doing? You still dating that girl from Nashville? And I mean, every single day, and he was so larger than life. Dude, I walked across Johnny Majors Boulevard to go to work, and would walk through the museum and walk past his retired jersey and his College Football Hall of Fame, you know, plaque. And then you get to the top of the stairs, and this huge picture of him after he beat Bear Bryant, you know, in the last time he coached against him. And then every day he's talking to me. And so it just was he was so much larger than life, but he couldn't have been less like that when he was just talking to me on the tower every day.
How did you kind of – put that together in your mind of just trying to, you know, realize that the same guy that you were talking to was the one that you passed by? Did it ever kind of fully dawn on you, I guess?
Oh, it scared me to death, right? I mean, it did. You know, you always, so there's always like the guy, right? You go in the bookstore and they sell the paintings of the guy.
Yeah.
And now it's Peyton Manning, right? Now you go into the bookstore over to UC and you can buy all these paintings of Peyton Manning. When I was in school, I still in my house. I have this print of Neyland Stadium and all the legends of Neyland Stadium and the largest, all these faces kind of in the sky, and the largest was General Neyland and the second biggest was Johnny Majors. And so, he'd won a national championship at Pittsburgh when I was just a little bitty kid, and coached Tony Dorsett. And so, it was hard to reconcile it, but he just was so disarming. That was the thing, is anytime you meet anyone with any level of fame, I think you learn who they actually are pretty quick, because mm-hmm. the great ones are the ones who were disarming. I met Paul Newman because he owned the IndyCar team for years. And, that's arguably the most famous guy in the world for 30 years. And he just, as soon as he got in the room, he made you feel good. He made you feel better. And so that's how Johnny Majors was, at least he was for me. And it took a minute. I was only 19. But certainly by the time we got to our second and third seasons together, practice every day, it just kind of became, our routine to catch up. And what shocked me every day was he knew what I was up to. He was keeping tabs on me,
Mm-hmm.
You knew who I was dating and what class I was going to and how I was doing in school and what my parents were doing. And it just was, it was like your uncle checking on you.
Right. That's awesome. Before, we go any further, as you went on in your career and everything, obviously, I know you mentioned earlier that you got to talk to him a few days before he passed and that you had kept up a relationship with him. But you mentioned in the column how, there were so many Tennessee fans that either spoke ill of him or just everything that happened with Philip Fulmer coming in. How did you reconcile that in your mind with putting all that together?
Oh, it was tough, man. Anybody that knows me knows that I've never pulled my punches,
mm-hmm.
On SEC Network or filling in for Paul Feinbaum or writing columns or whatever about my feelings about how that whole thing was handled. And certainly I've never let Philip Fulmer off the hook on that thing because he doesn't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And it always just made me mad. I wrote this in the column. I'm not even questioning whether or not Tennessee might have needed to go in a different direction with the head football coach. But I will always, to the day I'm gone, believe that they couldn't have handled it worse. And that bitterness continued. Coach Fulmer and Coach Majors did a really good job over the last couple of years of Coach Majors' life of publicly, making it look like they got along. They did not. And watching them kind of try to avoid each other, it just was sad. But the good news is Coach Majors reconciled with pretty much everyone else. I mean, you're talking about that staff was John Chavis and David Cutcliffe and Larry Latwell, who went on to help run the Dallas Cowboys. And, I mean, Randy Sanders at East Tennessee State, all these amazing coaches on the staff. And David Cutcliffe in particular at Duke, he and I talked about the fact that he had Coach Majors to Duke to talk to the team, and they went to dinner that night, and they officially made sure that they were okay. And Coach Cut, as he will do, kind of spoke for all of us when he said, man, how much time do we waste with grudges? How much time do we waste, on stuff that we could have been friends, we could have been hanging out. And the good news is that Coach Majors, seem to have mended fences with most of those people.
Right. And going off that, that kind of leads perfectly into the next thing I wanted to ask about. So with everything that happened there, obviously, in the later years, Tennessee welcomed Coach Majors back, and obviously rightfully so. But given kind of everything that happened, how do you think he would feel about being honored just by both schools this Saturday?
Oh, I'm so sorry he can't see it. I know he was excited about the prospect of these two schools playing football. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was talk about, scheduling this home and home a long time ago, and he got scheduled, and his excitement about two schools that he loved so much getting together. I'm sorry that he's not going to be there, because they'd have done this, I think, if he was still alive. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have been a memorial thing. It would have been a tribute. And so the people in Pittsburgh love Johnny Majors so much. That's why they brought him back. When Tennessee cut him loose, in the early 90s, you know, Pittsburgh welcomed him back with open arms, and all he did there was, you know, recruit Curtis Martin, who's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. And so Coach Majors is so beloved in Pittsburgh. He's so beloved in Knoxville. He's so beloved in Ames, Iowa. You know, the greatest year Iowa State ever had in football up until recently was the year when Coach Majors was there, you know, in the early 70s. And so he was beloved everywhere he was, except for maybe like Tuscaloosa. but I think he would have loved it so much, and he'd have been humbled. I mean, you know, he would have eaten it up, but he also would have been he would have been very gracious and very humble by what they're doing for him the next 2 years.
I asked Cedric Tillman, one of Tennessee's wide receivers, about whether Coach Heupel had mentioned, you know, the Johnny Majors Classic to them, or whether he had mentioned kind of any of the tradition there. But what do you do as a coach, you know, to reconcile that, to, you know, make sure your guys are aware of the tradition and the person that you're honoring and the history there, with also just getting ready to play a football game?
Well, I think that the game is first and foremost important.
Yeah.
But I think that if you're going to be the head football coach at a place like Tennessee that has that kind of history, and Heupel knows it. I mean, listen, you go to Oklahoma where you know, Heupel, like Johnny Majors, Heupel almost won Heisman,
right,
you know, when he played at Oklahoma. And so, you know, you go to Oklahoma, and the first thing you see when you hit the main drive into that great stadium they have up there is all big statues of all the Heisman Trophy winners. And when you get in the door, you know, you see all the legendary coaches and the paintings and statues and retired jerseys. And so I know that he respects the history of the sport, particularly this year with the celebration of 100 years in Neyland Stadium. And so there's no question in my mind that it will get some explanation. But I hope that today's players, and I get it, you know, you're a teenager, man. You don't want to hear about stuff that happened in the 50s, even in the 90s. But I hope that the players of today take a minute to do their research. I remember, again, I was in school a real long time ago, but I can remember clear as a bell the guys that I was in school with, Todd Helton and Heath Shuler and these guys, and they used to love walking through. They had the museum as you came into the brand new indoor practice facility back then, and those guys would eat that stuff up, and it was part of why they loved Coach Majors so much, because they understood how great he was, you know, because they'd done their research. And so I hope that today's players, when they're coming and going, they give themselves a chance to take advantage of all the great work they've done up there to preserve the history of the team.
What advice would you give them as somebody who just got to be around Coach Majors so much that, even though, you know, like you said, they may not be aware of the history as much, or obviously are more focused on the game at hand, what advice would you give them, or what would you tell them about what you knew him to be and kind of what he would expect of both programs?
Well, I just tell them that, you know, you respect those who came before you, and those who built, you know, the programs that you're a part of now. And, you know, and that's at Tennessee and at Pittsburgh. You know, those are two programs with a lot of great history. And again, talking about Tony Dorsett, Hugh Douglas, and Dan Marino, and all those guys. And I love that Jackie Sherrill is going to be at the game, by the way, who coached the teams right after Coach Majors. And then at Tennessee, I mean, you know, Tennessee has more College Football Hall of Famers than any other school in the SEC. And, you know, take a minute and understand that. And, you know, listen, I got a teenage daughter, man. It's hard to get teenagers to get into history. But I think that if you are a part of that history, and everybody who puts that uniform on is, then, you know, you do yourself a favor and you learn about it. And I would tell the players of today, whether at Pittsburgh or whether they're at Tennessee or whether they're at Iowa State, I would let them know Coach Majors is the kind of guy you want to aspire to be. He loved everybody. He didn't care where you came from. As long as you worked hard and as long as he knew that you were a genuine person, which is what he tried to be, then you know, that's the kind of person that he wanted on his football teams. And that's the kind of man that paved the way for a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds to play football in Tennessee. And, oh, by the way, won a lot of games and was also a really, really, really good football player. I mean, he was great. And I hope they do the research and learn that.
Awesome. I actually had forgotten to note that earlier, but to ask not just if there's any one thing you remember about him, but But before that, is there anything that he told you about his playing career that you really think would be worth noting, or anything that you kind of dug up about him that you remember?
Coach, it was a little guy, and yet he led the team in every major statistical category. And this is back when they ran the single wings. But he led the team in punting. He led the team in passing. He led the team in rushing. He led the team in scoring. He led the team in return yards. I mean, everything. And he also played both ways. And he was a little bitty guy. I'm not a big guy. And I looked Coach eye to eye. And yet he still almost won the Heisman Trophy, and still should have won the Heisman Trophy, by the way. And he was, competing against guys like Jim Brown and Paul Hornung and these Pro Football Hall of Famers. But Coach was a really big believer in being smarter than the other guy. He talked about leverage, and he talked about angles, and he talked about outworking them. And to me, that's a lesson for everybody, no matter what level of football or whatever they're trying to do in their life.
Saturday, I don't know if you'll be able to be there. I'm sure I was going to say probably have obligations with SEC Network and with Marty and doing stuff around the country. But whenever the ball kicks off at noon, and kind of that official celebration of Johnny Majors is started for 2 or 3 hours, what'll be going through your mind?
I'll be in Fayetteville, Arkansas, where Coach Majors worked as a young graduate assistant and then young assistant under Frank Broyles at Arkansas, coached Jimmy Johnson, coached Jerry Jones, coached Kenny Hatfield, and started his coaching career in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And I have already we'll do Marty McGee at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern on Saturday morning, and my producer Randy would tell you right now I have already called him 3 times and said we have to make sure you give me time to talk about Coach Majors. So we will definitely talk about him on the show. And then I love the fact that as that game kicks off, I'll be right there in a place, Fayetteville, Arkansas, where Coach Majors started his coaching career, learned under another Hall of Famer, Frank Broyles, coached a couple of Hall of Famers, and Jimmy Johnson and Kent Hatfield. And Coach Majors also told me some stories about him running around Fayetteville, Arkansas as a young man that I will always keep those stories to myself.
I was gonna say I'm sure he would appreciate it. Just thinking about it, I had one chance to meet him a few years ago. They had an event in Knoxville downtown at the tailgate store, and I remember even just for those few minutes, it was so cherished. Obviously, you got a lot more time with him, but anybody that ever got a chance to meet him or interact with him, you could look into his eyes, I feel like, and tell the history there and just everything that he had been able to do. But
There was nothing, I'll tell you this, there was nothing that came out of Johnny Major's mouth that he didn't mean. There was no dancing, there was no BS, there was just, it was Coach, and however he said it is however he said it, and he meant it, and that's what I loved about him. And I miss him, but but I'm so thrilled that the two schools that he loves so much are going out of their way over the next 2 years to pay tribute to him as they should.
Perfect. And Ryan, man, thank you so much for your time. I know, like you said, you're crazy busy this week as you are during every football season, but I can't thank you enough for coming on. Before we go, is there any one thing that you feel like people should know about Coach Majors that you hadn't yet mentioned?
Just that he's the genuine article, man. And he was funny. He was not egotistical, no matter what anybody tried to tell you back in the day. And he loved the University of Tennessee more than anyone I've ever met in my life. And that is no exaggeration. And the fact that he was able to mend fences and say what you want about Lane Kiffin's era at Tennessee, his 1 year era. But one of the first things he did was call Coach Majors and go, "Here's a key card. Here's a parking spot. You come in here anytime you want." And to me, the Hill has been a much better place ever since then.
Awesome. Well, like I said, Ryan, I can't thank you enough for taking a little time tonight, man. And obviously, good luck the rest of the way this season with everything you're doing. I'm a big admirer of it, as I know anybody who graduated from UT Journalism School is. So, man, thank you so much for coming on and sharing a little bit about Coach Majors with me. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
So that will do it. Thank you guys for tuning in for a very special edition of the VR2 on SI podcast. Thank you especially to Ryan for coming on and sharing more about the incredible human being he knew as Coach Johnny Majors, who again will be honored on Saturday during the Johnny Majors Classic between Tennessee and Pittsburgh. Kickoff is at noon on ESPN from Neyland Stadium. And for everything Tennessee football, you can follow us at VR2 on SI on Twitter and keep up with us on the Sports Illustrated Volunteer Country website. So thank you guys for tuning in and have a great night, and we will see you on Saturday.